Tonight we want to return again to our thoughts on the theme of forgiveness. I'm thankful for Brother Kirk being able to take my place last Wednesday night. But this time last Wednesday, you wouldn't even heard me with the microphone on. A whisper was a struggle for me to get out, but I'm thankful that it seems to be clearing up. Still a little weak, but I woke up sounding like this today, so that's a good thing. Usually I wake up with nothing, and it gets to this point by later in the day, so we're almost through all of this. Tonight I want to return again to the theme of forgiveness that we had studied for the first couple weeks. So far, we have considered some foundational truths with respect to forgiveness. Tonight, I want to take some time and look at a little more personal issues revolving this area of forgiveness. The truth is that for many of us, the concept of forgiveness may be one of the most difficult topics that we have to reckon with and that we have to learn to accept. Forgiveness goes against your natural inclinations. It stands in direct opposition to your feelings and your emotions. The Bible makes it very clear that we are called to forgive. We've already mentioned this already in our study, but the motivation for forgiveness is rooted in this truth found in Ephesians 4:32, that we are forgive as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. You and I are called to forgive as God has forgiven us. At its basic definition, we understand that forgiveness requires a willingness to let go of the hurts that we carry along with us, and at the same time, learning to show compassion and love to those who hurt us. When you consider the concept of forgiveness, sometimes people struggle with the thought because people will say, when you forgive, you have to forget. Well, it's impossible to forget. But it's not impossible to let go. It's not impossible to stop carrying those things around with you. We have to learn to let those things go from our life and learn to in turn show love and compassion towards those who have hurt us. Is that not what God has done for you and I? I mean, the Bible says that all of our sins He places behind His back. He puts as far away as east is from west. He buries them in the depths of the sea. He has let them go. And He has shown compassion and love towards you and I. As you and I wrestle with the concept of forgiveness, we're going to naturally ask a few questions. We're going to ask things like, how often does God expect us to forgive the same person? The longer you live, the reality is there just always seems to be those few people in your life that always cause you the hurt. And the simplest solution would just seem to be, Lord, just take them out of my life. I mean, how many times do I have to forgive the same person? We struggle with questions like that. We want to know, is there ever a point when we are no longer obligated to forgive them? Certainly there has to be a limit. We wonder about things like this. Are there sins that are unforgivable? You talk to certain people and they will tell you, well, they did the unforgivable. I can never forgive them for that sin. Are there those kinds of sins? Things which are unforgivable? Tonight I want to try to answer some of those basic questions. And I've titled tonight's message, The Limitations on Forgiveness. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to begin looking at verse 21. What are the limitations on forgiveness? Well, Matthew 18 is going to give us the answer to that question. Matthew 18, verse 21, we read these words. And then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Wherefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants? And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not. But when he cast him into prison, till he should pay the debt. So when the fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told it to their Lord, all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Let's pray together. Father, we ask and pray that in the moments that we have remaining tonight, that you would help us to see these very personal, very practical, helpful truths with regards to forgiveness. Father, we can give assent so easily to the truth. Yes, we are to forgive. But Father, in our minds, we see limitations. We, like Peter, will say, I'll forgive till 7 times. Yet, Lord, thy word demands more. So, Father, I pray and ask tonight that you would help us in all of these things. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin tonight, I want you to see Christ's instruction to his disciples. We're familiar with Matthew 18, specifically the verses that precede these verses. Those verses in Matthew 18 gives us the principle for confronting an erring brother, one who has sinned against us. And in all honesty, we may look more detailed at those next week and consider some thoughts in relation to those, but we're pretty familiar with those verses. If your brother trespasses against thee, go and tell it to thy brother. If he won't hear, take 2 or 3 witnesses with you so that every word can be established. If they won't hear, take it to the church. And we're pretty used to those verses. They're familiar to us. But as we come here, we find the Lord continues that instruction. And what we find in verse 21 is Peter coming to the Lord, and he asks the question after he hears these things. He says, okay, Lord, I've got a question with regards to forgiveness. How many times do I have to forgive my brother that sins against me? Lord, I'm feeling real gracious tonight. I'm thinking 7 times. You think, boy, what's wrong with Peter? Where does he come up with 7? You know, the Jewish law, the Pharisees had established this truth, that you had to forgive 3 times. After that, you no longer had to forgive an erring brother. So Peter comes and says, Lord, I understand what's been taught me. 3 times, I'm willing to say, let's go to 7. Is that sufficient? In Peter's mind, there has to be, right, limitations. Lord, you've given us this pattern, okay, forgive my brother, but there has to be a limit, right? And naturally, you and I would place limits on forgiveness. There's only so much we can tolerate. There's only so much we can do. We've got to draw the line in the sand somewhere. Peter said, Lord, I'll draw it at 7. And the Lord said, no, Peter, that's not good enough. I say unto you, 70 times 7. I can only imagine how Peter's heart must have just dropped. Lord, so basically what you're saying is no limit. And folks, that's exactly what the Lord's instruction is. We want to place limits on forgiveness, but the Lord responds and gives this radical concept. There is no limit on forgiveness. We are to forgive our brothers. When they sin against us, God expects that we forgive and there be no limitations. So the Lord gives us that instruction. That's a hard one for you and I to really swallow. Because in our natural selves, there has to be a limit. But God says, there's no limit. If they sin and you go to your brother and they seek forgiveness, you've got to forgive. I want to remind you what that means. You've got to let go of that hurt. You've got to show compassion on them. And that's why it's so hard. They did it again, Lord. Forgive. But they did it again. Lord, there's got to be a limit to this. How many times? The Lord Jesus teaches there's no limit. Folks, I'm thankful for that when I consider that in light of Ephesians 4:32. Forgive as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I want you to ask yourself a question tonight. How many times since you have been saved have you asked the Lord to forgive you for the same sin? Just pick one of your flaws. By the way, you have more than one. I know some of you, not me, I only have one. I'm practically perfect in every way. No, you're not. You've got more than one, but think of one for a moment. How many times since you've been saved have you asked God to forgive you for that temper? That response to that person when they came to you? How many times, men, have we had to go and ask God to forgive us for the way that we've treated our spouse or our children? How many times do we have to ask forgiveness for our unwillingness to do our part? How many times, ladies, do you have to go and say, Lord, I did it again. I know you tell me to submit to my husband. He really bothers me and I refuse to do it. How many times since you've been saved have you asked the Lord to forgive you for the same sin? I don't know about you, but I'm thankful there's no limit. If I confess my sin, He is faithful and just to forgive me my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Folks, I'd be in trouble right now if there was a limit. I was saved at 6. I just turned 39. 33 years of childhood and teenage life, I'm in trouble. But God is good. I can't tell you how many times I had to ask my parents to forgive me for the same thing. Folks, there's no limit to that forgiveness. God expects us to forgive. In order to help with that instruction, the Lord gives an illustration which clearly teaches the truth and it solidifies and helps His disciples. He introduces this radical new view of forgiveness, and now He gives an illustration, something for which you and I could understand. The verses preceding, verse 22 down to verse 35, we often call the parable of the unmerciful servant. And I want you to notice two things. I want you to first of all note the account of the story. It begins with a servant being brought to account before his master. And the master must have been going through the books, so to speak. And he's calling his servants before him, and there's one, and he owes him $10,000, if you want to put it this way. Basically, he has a debt he cannot pay. And the Lord says, you know what? Because you cannot pay, I legally have the right, and I exercise that right, according to Exodus 22, to sell you, your wife, your children, and every possession to reclaim my debt. According to the law, the Lord had that right. The servant begs. He pleads. Be patient. Be merciful. I'll pay you every penny back. Just give me more time. Please don't sell me. Sell my family. Sell our goods. Please be merciful. Notice what the Bible says. He forgave him all his debt. Every last bit of it. He didn't say, work it off. We'll come up with a payment plan. He said, your debt is wiped clean. Your balance is zero. Imagine that. How would you feel? You have a mortgage? How would you feel if the bank called you? Hey, by the way, we want you to know about your mortgage. It's gone. Your balance is zero. Hey, you've been carrying that credit card around. You know, you've been using that this month. That's been great. I hope you've enjoyed it. By the way, your balance is zero. Would that make you happy? Most people, it would. My debt's gone. I don't have to pay. But this servant, having received that wonderful news, leaves the presence of his Lord and goes finds a fellow servant, grabs him by the throat and says, pay me what you owe. Okay. Same request. Have mercy, be patient. And he refuses and puts him into prison. Now folks, he had every legal right to do that. But the Lord had said, forgive as I forgive. But he refused to forgive. With that in mind, we find now the Lord, having heard of that, taking his wrath out upon the servant whom he had forgiven. The Bible says he delivered him to the tormentors until he paid all of his debt. There's application for you and I to understand. The primary lesson that's to be understood from the parable is that man who has received a pardon or forgiveness from the Lord has an obligation to forgive others who hurt him and sin against him. By the way, can I say this to you? There is no sin. No sin that man can commit against you. I don't care how heinous a crime it is. There is no sin that man can commit against man that compares to our sin against the Holy God. There's none. And we are told that we are to forgive because God has forgiven us. He expects that we forgive the small debts of mankind because he has let go, forgiven our large debt. A debt you and I could never repay. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. There is nothing we could do to make up for our sin. But God in his love and mercy provided a gift of Jesus Christ and forgave us all our sin. We are to be willing to forgive because God has forgiven us. There's two of the points that I want you to see by way of application. Number one, I want you to understand tonight that human nature tends towards condemnation. You and I need to be aware of that. Our human nature tends towards condemnation. By nature, you and I are judgmental. We are condemning of our brothers. By nature, we are. If someone hurts us, we want to judge, we want to condemn. That is our first, our natural response. By nature, we expect of others what is not expected of us. True? It is. We expect others to do more than what we think should be expected of us. Because we are by nature condemning and judgmental. By nature, we struggle with a mote in our brother's eye while we ignore the beam that's in our own eye. Remember that adage from Matthew chapter 7? You're worried about that little fleck of dirt in your brother's eye. You're trying to get that out. It's going to be quite hard to do so with a beam, a 2x4 sticking out your own. That's the concept. But we by nature are more concerned with everyone else's sin than we are our own. I marvel at that. I really do as a pastor. Oh, pastor, what a wonderful message. I pray sister so-and-so got that today because she needed that today. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, one of these Sundays I'm just going to blurt it out. No, she doesn't. You do. You missed the whole point. I hear that, folks, more often than I really want to. Oh, I was so glad to see them in church today. They really needed that message, Pastor. What were you doing during the service? Well, I was thinking about Sister So-and-so, and I was judging her the whole time. I hope it helped. Probably not. Well, I made sure to go right up afterwards and tell him, you really needed that one, huh, sister? Thanks for making my job harder. By nature, we are condemning. We move towards condemnation. With others, we're quick to point out their failures. With ourselves, we're quick to make excuses for our mistakes. I like the words that Neil Lightfoot shared in his book, The Parables of Jesus. I think this so speaks to who we are by nature. He says, mistakes in others are sins. In us, they are only faults. What is meanness in others is mischief in ourselves. What is harshness in others is frankness in ourselves. I'm just being frank and to the point. What is selfishness in others is thrift in ourselves. Boy, they're not very giving. I'm just frugal. Okay. In the work of the church, we often expect more, much more of others than we do of ourselves. We expect others to take the lead, others to set the example, others to do the work, and we are quick to criticize if they do not. By nature, you and I tend to be condemning and judgmental. And the Lord wants to teach us that there should be a new way. It should be a forgiving way. This one was forgiven everything by the Lord. And what did he do? He immediately went out and found one that he could condemn and judge. Because that's who we are by nature. But the divine nature tends towards forgiveness. I'm thankful that 1 John 1:9 is true. God is faithful and just to forgive. He is faithful to show mercy to all those who come unto him. Isaiah 1 and verse 18, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Psalm 103 verse 12, as far away as east is from the west, as far away he removes our sins. God tends to be forgiving. But if anyone has the right to judge, it is God, the judge of all the earth. But by his divine nature, he tends to be forgiving. Therefore, God, in his justice, is able to require of us to forgive at all times. Folks, if our brother sins against us 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day he asks for forgiveness, Luke 17, 3 and 4 makes it very clear, forgive him 7 times in that day. If your brother asks for forgiveness, we are to forgive. We are to be kind and tenderhearted to those who have sinned against us. What's the limitation on forgiveness? How often do I have to forgive? Always. There is no limit to that forgiveness. We need God to help us to learn to forgive as He is forgiven. I would say that many would agree with the truth, but again, practically speaking, we all have our limits on which we're willing to forgive. If you and I could truly grasp the concept of forgiveness, and by that I mean the one that God Himself employs with us, that would radically change the way we live and deal with other people. We need to be careful. We need to be careful that we don't just say, oh, I agree with Pastor says, we need to forgive, and we need to always forgive. But in the back of our minds say, except for blank, there's a limit there. I've talked with parents who said, Pastor, I can't forgive my child anymore. They've crossed the line. Really? Where do you find that in Scripture? I don't. Now, do I think it's right for parents to take a stand if their child is in sin? Absolutely. Do you need to judge them? No. Do you need to cut them off completely and never show love and compassion again and refuse to forgive? That's the wrong way to handle it. And I would never counsel someone in that way. We ought to love and we ought to forgive those who are willing. I've listened to folks say, well, Pastor, I understand what you're trying to say to me, but I cannot forgive my spouse. You just don't know what it's like to be hurt the way I've been hurt. I'm sorry, but the Bible makes it real clear. You have to forgive. I won't. Then you're going to miss out on what God has for you. You're violating the Word of God. I don't care, is what I've heard. How sad for them. Folks, the reality is all of us place our limits, but we have to set those aside because God says there is no limit. What limit have you set tonight? 7 times? Well, no, I'm a little more spiritual. 7 times 7, 49. But that's it, right at 49. You ever talk with a couple that has, what's their problem? You know what happens, right? You hand them both a sheet of paper. The man puts 2 things on the one page, and the wife puts both pages and says, can I have another sheet? Ooh, she's forgotten a thing. She's got her list, or he's got his list, and they can write it all down. They're unwilling to forgive. Folks, God says no limit. How often do we forgive? We always forgive. Why? Because we forgive as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Again, I'm glad God doesn't put a limit. Because how many times if I asked Him to forgive me for the same sin? How many times, folks, did you ask God to forgive you for the same sin today? If you took the time to really think that one through, you might be surprised of what you've asked the Lord for lately. And it just may make you a little more thankful for His policy of limitless forgiveness. All who come, He forgives. And if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All who come to Him are never cast out. He always meets us with open arms. Praise the Lord that there's no limit to forgiveness. Let's pray tonight as we close. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for the time to be able to come and gather together, consider these truths with realms to forgiveness. Lord, we realize that these are touchy and difficult circumstances for us. Lord, we realize that we should forgive, but the reality is all of us in some way, in our minds, humanly speaking, have a limit. We have a place that we draw the line and we cut people off. Father, Peter came wanting to know about that, and you taught and instructed him that there is to be no limit. You illustrated through the parable of the unmerciful servant. Let us keep those things, Lord, at the forefront of our minds the next time we have to deal with those prickly people who always seem to get under our skin, those people who always seem to hurt us and do us wrong. Let us, Lord, learn to forgive. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for that work that you can do in all of our hearts tonight. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed tonight.